Hey, Guido. It's all so clear to me now. I'm the keeper of the cheese. And you're the lemon merchant. You get it? And he knows it. That's why he's gonna kill us. So we gotta beat it. Yeah. Before he lets loose the marmosets on us. Don't worry, little Missy. I'll save you.
Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I am Sharon Gilbert, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday, May the 27th, 2009.
Day number three of our adventure in no air conditioning.
It's sultry.
This is a show that will go down in the annals of PID Radio history as the Lawnmower Show.
Yeah.
Yes, we got the windows open. Next door neighbors trimming the grass. So if you hear a mower in the background, that's just ambiance. It's extra flavor, no extra charge. So
well, the great thing is the experiments we're working on with him is they're really helping out.
Yes, yes. And speaking of experiments, the marmosets are after us. Oh, we're going to talk about lots of stuff tonight, but this was one that caught Sharon's eye just before showtime tonight, and so hence the audio clip from the beginning of the program tonight.
And if you've ever seen Ren and Stimpy, the first season, which is the only funny season,
yes,
then you recognize the clip.
So glowing marmosets, huh?
Yeah, they're glowing, and actually they are passing it on to their progeny. So this is, you know, it's a huge ta-da for the scientists. The reason for you can find them in the dark. It's great.
Because if you've ever tripped over your marmoset in the middle of the night,
oh man,
it's really painful. They hate it when you
they're
do that.
They're doing this because they can.
Well, that's it, and it's just another example of science doing something apparently because they can. I mean, you know, Nicole told us about the experiment that they did when she was in high school about swapping out genes into, you know, frogs or plants or whatever that created bioluminescence in, I mean, we've seen bioluminescent pigs.
It's something you can see very quickly, whether or not it actually works.
Yeah. The interesting thing about this is that these marmosets are passing on the genetic code for glowiness to their offspring, which is the first time apparently that's happened. So
the nice thing is they don't have to wear makeup anymore. They've got that natural glow.
Yeah. Yeah, so they've got that going for them. They save a lot on their makeup bills, but it is going to be an interesting thing. And one wonders now as we move into this era of more and more animal rights activists getting more and more bizarre, whether someone's going to volunteer to say take on casework pro bono for the jellyfish whose genes have been spliced into all these other species with no compensation.
Let's see, we've run a DNA test on this litter here, and well, apparently you, Mr. Jellyfish, are the father.
Yeah, that creates all kinds of interesting custody battles, possibly.
Yeah, well.
So anyway, we've got that going on in the world of science as we continue blending and, you know, the barriers, crossing the barriers between species and redefining ultimately where this ends. It's going to redefine what it means to be human, a topic that Tom Horn has talked about many times.
Yep.
And that's why we bring it up and raise it. Yeah, we can have a chuckle at it, but it just shows that if they're doing this with marmosets, that there are other things taking place out there that are
whatever stories we see in the mainstream press,
right?
They're just
tip of the iceberg
stories. Yeah, the real science is not being reported.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that because again, there are experiments that are being done with human genetic material involved, and that is where it really gets disturbing. Speaking of disturbing, there was a story that we were going to talk about yesterday. We kind of set it to the side to talk about the little foxes, which I think was a stroke of inspiration on Sharon's part to, you know, bring that up and just kind of share that. But there was a story that was reported by the Times of London, and if it wasn't coming from a reputable news source like that, it would sound like tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. I mean, really whacked but it's mainstream news, and it involves some of the richest people in the United States, if not the world. Apparently, a group of billionaires has been meeting, has met a couple of times now on the QT, kind of loosely, informally calling themselves the Good Club, because this is all about the good of the human race. People involved.
Is that an acronym, or is it?
I don't know. TGC?
Global Order of...
No, they just call themselves the Good Club. A group of people got together at the invitation of Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates. The people he invited include David Rockefeller Jr. Now, that right there has all kinds of... That name is written in tinfoil, because, of course, he was a founding member of the Bilderberg Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and so forth. So David Rockefeller Jr., Warren Buffett, George Soros, Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, Oprah Winfrey.
Rockefeller and Soros, you wouldn't expect, because, you know, ideologically they're supposed to be...
Supposed to be, yeah.
Polar opposites.
Ted Turner. So they get people with a lot of clout and a lot of money behind it. And why did they meet? To discuss ways to control the population of the world. They want to cut down the number of people in the world because they believe there are serious problems ahead for as far as healthcare and education, human welfare. I mean, again, it's a philanthropic gesture.
Turner's been advocating this for years.
Mm-hmm. So these billionaires get together and want to talk about how to control the rest of the world's population. Now, the presence of Oprah Winfrey notwithstanding, think about this for a moment. When you get a bunch of middle-aged and older white guys, wealthy white guys, talking about controlling the population of the world, what do you think the skin color might be of the people whose population they wish to control? Hmm? Russia, Western Europe,
gray.
North America. yeah, probably. The Caucasian nations.
Oh, very much so.
Russia, Western Europe, North America. For the most part, we Caucasians aren't producing enough babies.
Why, they're the kings of the North.
To even keep our population stable. Russia is shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've even taken extreme measures like offering bonuses to people to go home, you know, have a day off.
Oh, they had those huge
babies.
Camps with Nashi and actually marry the kids off to each
right.
other and then have them go into their tent to make babies while they're there.
That's right. Make good Russian babies. So Western Europe is dying because it's not replacing itself. Western Europe is going to be essentially Arab and African by 2050 if Pat Buchanan is right. And here in North America... the Anglo-Saxons will eventually become a minority.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you think Turner, Soros, Rockefeller, Gates, Buffett, Bloomberg are talking about when they're talking about controlling the world's population? It's people with yellow skin, people with brown skin.
Poor non-whites.
That's who they're talking about. So this is what they consider a disastrous, and that's their word, environmental, social, and industrial threat. They need to control the world's population. Now, if this sounds vaguely Hitlerian, well, maybe it's only because it is.
And we need to remind you of something we've talked about in the past on other shows, and that is the Georgia Guidestones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on their website right now, thegeorgiaguidestones.com, and written in numerous languages on these Stonehenge-like pillars.
Mm-hmm.
Are the following. These statements, they start with number one, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature.
Mm-hmm. Very green. Yep.
Yep. That's about what, 1% of what it is now?
About that, yeah.
Number two, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Well, let's see, if you get down to just white people... Not very diverse, is it?
Mm.
Number three, unite humanity with a living new language.
Esperanto didn't work out.
No, it didn't. Number four, rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Notice faith was in there.
Ruled by reason.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm all for that. I mean, wasn't it God who said to Isaiah, come, let us reason together?
Mm. Yeah, that's not what they
mean. This is part of the Illuminati,
right. Yeah. Age of Reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Not empathetic. Just. Number six, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court.
Yeah.
Not law of the sea treaty. Number seven, avoid petty laws and useless officials. Avoid petty laws and useless officials.
Local school boards, they're just a waste of time.
Yeah. Number eight, balance personal rights with social duties. And number nine, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. And finally, number 10, be not a cancer upon the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. They repeated that line.
Yeah.
This whole thing is Gaia worship.
It is. And the population they're looking to, their target population is about 10% of the world population.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, 500 million is 10%.
Yeah, actually less than that now because we've gone over 6 billion. So Gates' stated goal with this good club is to plateau or peak at about 8.3 billion, which is about 1 billion less than current estimates would have us by, what is the year? They've got a target year and a target... Yeah. Anyway, we'll post a link to the article in the show notes at PIDradio.com so you can read this.
Well, I'd say by 2015. That's my guess.
Yeah, they want to cap the population of the world at about 8.3 billion instead of 9.3 billion, which is where official estimates are right now. And right now we're at about 6.6 billion, eh?
Yeah.
So the Georgia Guidestones, of course, would have us go back to 500 million, which, you know, means wiping out more than 90% of us useless eaters out here. So keep an eye on that, because, again, this is just another aspect or manifestation, if you will, of this spirit involved in worshiping the creation instead of the creator.
The neighbor is now edging his lawn.
So we'll keep an eye on that as well. A couple of media notes. This was kind of interesting, I thought. The official radio station of the Vatican has apparently determined that while... well, I won't be too snarky. They have decided that they need to accept advertising in order to make ends meet. Yeah, apparently it costs about $30 million a year. $30 million.
The Vatican doesn't have enough money to pay for their own radio station.
You know, times are hard when the Vatican can't even maintain its own radio station. It costs Vatican Radio about $30 million a year to operate, they say. And so they're looking for new sources of funding, and they will begin airing advertisements on July 6th of 2009.
You know, we could teach them. Yeah, you can have a radio station on a shoestring.
Sure, just broadcast on the internet.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I'm glad you brought up the Vatican because last night, of course, you and I watched the Angels and Demons special that was on the History Channel.
Right, yeah.
Angels and Demons Decoded.
We'll summarize it for you in 3 seconds. Science good, religion bad.
Exactly.
The end. So, thank you. And that's what it boiled down to.
Yeah. They talked about the Illuminati. They talked about the Masons. Essentially, religion came out poorly in it. Mm-hmm. Well, it comes out poorly in the book as well.
Yeah. And they spend a lot of time during this series showing all of the people who were tortured because of their religious faith in the Middle Ages. Do a little reading on history. That ain't necessarily so.
You know, another thing, if you have not read Angels and Demons, I highly recommend you do it. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to get around to reading it, but once I did, I went forehead slapping moment. Thank you, Sue, by the way, for just bugging me until I read that book. Derek read a long time ago.
At the recommendation of your sister Anne.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. The science that goes on in that is eerily similar to experiments that are taking place at CERN now. CERN is at the heart of Angels and Demons, and the Hadron Collider is doing the same kind of stuff. It is really, really creepy and, And there are many, Tom Horn, Sue Bradley, myself, I'll put me in there, who just kind of wonder whether they knowingly or not might be opening up some kind of a gate they're going to wish they'd close, could close.
Yeah. We had talked about that when they were getting ready to put this on last fall, about the possibility that these guys might be creating a miniature black hole without intending to do so. But as Sharon points out, maybe it's not the black hole so much as it is the portal or the gateway that's opened into another dimension, a transdimensional portal. And it's possible, conceivable anyway, as we just kind of randomly theorize here, that a black hole might be a gateway or a portal. And I know this is fiction, but I think it was an interesting movie to watch for that standpoint, the movie Event Horizon with Sam Harris and Lawrence Fishburne.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Actually, very creepy. Recommend that movie.
But yeah. But
if you're on Netflix, get it. Netflix, by the way, is working out for us so far.
Another
the mystery, you know, chewing up of the discs has stopped.
Yeah, it was funny that the first disc that was chewed up was the movie Crowley, about Aleister Crowley.
But by the way, don't bother.
No, poorly done. And it's not just because there are some scenes in the movie that, as Christians, we just found unwatchable. It's like
skipping,
okay, skip to the next scene.
Skip, yeah. skip.
It's just the movie's just poorly done. It's bad. So anyway, so the Vatican will be accepting advertising and. Trying to keep the Vatican radio on. And this should be interesting to watch, too. Robert Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral last fall demoted his son, who had become the sole preacher on the Hour of Power television show. You know, the feel-good, God loves us all, no matter what, you know. His son, Robert A. Schuller, has gone out and purchased the American Life Television Cable Network from the Unification Church. The Moonies!
Oh, my gosh!
Now, this
they
is
own
a cable-
that, too?
Yeah.
Or owned that.
Yeah. So it was a network that was similar in some ways to, I don't know, Family Channel, or I guess, or you know, what Nick at Night or Nicktoons.
A lot of old 60s, 70s reruns.
Right. Aimed at the baby boomers. Well, he's going to take this over and looks like may try to turn it into a Family Channel type thing.
That was my only source for the Man from U.N.C.L.E.
So we'll see what happens there. Because, you know, going forth and making disciples of all nations requires a $100 million cable network to get the message out there. So,
on my Facebook page today, I asked the question, if Jesus were coming back this weekend, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think of it? For all we know, he will. There are those who argue for a Pentecost fulfillment in the rapture, and I can definitely see... that it's the argument makes a lot of sense. Whether or not Jesus really does come back this weekend, he is coming back eventually. And I think each one of us needs to ask ourselves that question. If I knew for sure, if God showed up and said, I'm coming back on this date at this time, what would we do differently?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how you should live your life.
It's hard to do because, and we talked about this before, I can get my head around the concept, but there are times my heart's just not there. It's like, you know, not imminent. So I can go on and be grouchy and crabby to coworkers or family members or whatever, because
we're all doing it.
Right.
We're all doing it.
Right.
But you know, we need to try a little harder and maybe just take a day this week and say, okay, I'm going to live today as if it's the last one I've got.
And not because you're earning points that'll get you into heaven.
No,
don't mistake us there. Cause you know, it is by grace we're saved.
Amen.
Through faith, not by works. But we do it because we try to live holy.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God is holy. So
right.
that's it. We're always open and available at our, well, not open, but I mean, at least you can get to us through our email, radio@peeringintodarkness.com. And, of course, the forum link, Piercing the Darkness, is available at the website. Where you'll find the show notes, pidradio.com.
Send us a tweet. At our Twitter account, twitter.com/PID Radio. And, of course, Derek and I are both on Facebook, and we will put links to that because we've gotten some emails saying, I can't find you. There
yes.
are lots of Sharon Gilberts and Derek Gilberts, to which I say, stop stealing our names.
That's right. It really is bizarre. I thought Derek Gilbert was a pretty unique name, but you go on the web and find that there are all kinds of us out there.
Yeah.
We should form a club.
Yeah, I don't know. By the way, Signs and Wonders is now at... Amazon.com.
I should have remembered to mention that so that you didn't have to do it yourself.
Oh, that's okay.
I am so proud of you. Because, and the reason this is a big deal is because Amazon.com apparently contacted Lulu, the company we use to publish our books through PID Publishing, and said, we would like to add this to our lineup at Amazon.com.
Hard copy. This is a book without an ISBN number.
Which is unusual.
It's nothing we paid extra for. Amazon just said we want to have it.
Right. So let me toot your horn. It is an excellent read. If you haven't read it yet, you can now find Signs and Wonders, book 2 of the Laodicea Chronicles, available at Amazon.com.
And
through our website.
Yeah. I was just about to say that I'm working on book 3. And, you know, so many things have happened, air conditioning out, but mostly because my mother passed away. Honestly, that's kind of thrown me for a loop. So continue to pray for me because, yeah, you know, the grief process is one that takes a little longer than we'd like to admit.
Yeah, it's helps knowing that we know where she is.
Amen.
But still, there is a process.
There is.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye. There's a new day coming. There's a new day coming down. There's a new day coming. Oh, a new day coming. A new day coming. A new day coming. Oh,
this is PID Radio.